Okay. Just to explain, thank you, Andy. Sorry, thank you. Very, very helpful. Terrific stuff. That is continuing our kind of exposition for church planters, working through the rest of 2 Corinthians for this term, making that our own and thinking through the implications for our own church planting ministry. So we'll continue that. That's the kind of the word section, we've loosely called it, the kind of wisdom section, which we'll come to now. What we're going to do is we're going to think through team stuff. So last term, we thought a little bit about leadership. I want us to think a little bit more about teams and how teams function and the contributions we make to that. After the break, so the idea is we'll have coffee at about 1:30 for half an hour, provide people an opportunity to go away, grab coffee, come back for 11 o'clock start. And ordinarily, we would split into pre-launch and post-launch people, depending on the stage that your plant is at, and be doing a couple of things. The pre-launch guys, the idea is that this term, this is we're going to deal with meetings. I want you to think through the meetings that you're involved in, and in one sense, to go from principles to practice. What are the principles that are underlying this meeting? Why are we doing this meeting? What's it for? How's it to operate? And then what does that look like in practice? And then the post-launch guys, we're kind of thinking about the church planter's life from a number of different perspectives. And today was meant to be looking at the kind of the seasonal life of a planter, which is, in one sense, just understanding what the planter's life looks like at the different stages of church plant development. Now, I've got that, but I'm not going to give it today, because I think we want to be there in Andy's session. I think what Andy's going to give us about prayer and what prayer meetings looks like is going to be too valuable not to make it available for everyone. So we'll be all in together for the 11 till 12 slot, and then for those that need to, they can disappear, and we can go and listen and tune in to John Stevens for the leadership in lockdown stuff that's available. So look, I hope that makes sense. That's the shape of the term, at least. We might run over a little bit this time, so you might be delayed grabbing your coffee for 5, 10 minutes. But I want us to think about the life cycle of a team. So there's a handout that came from Phil that'll be useful to have open in front of you. But let me pray, and then we'll think a little bit about this. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for teams. Thank you that we're not lone rangers. Thank you that you put others around us. Help us to make the most of teams. We want to be more than the sum of our parts, because the work you've entrusted to us is of such value that we want to do it as well as we can. And we pray, therefore, you might help us to think through the whole concept of a team and how teams function, that we might better understand it and better serve them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, look, you may be familiar with the life cycle of a team. That may be something that you're up to speed on. Perhaps the four words, forming, storming, norming, and performing, mean something to you. Perhaps they don't. There is a diagram that kind of essentially sort of has, sort of the expectations of a team or the performance of a team over time. And everyone comes in at the start and it's okay. And then it goes south. And that's the storming stage. Then there's this kind of norming as people figure stuff out. And then it's just upwards and onwards performing. And the guy who was responsible for it is a guy called Bruce Tuckman. And about 10 years ago, he suggested there's a fifth stage, which is called adjourning, which doesn't quite work because it's got an N there rather than an M. But look, what's going on in that? It's a business model. It's an observation about social behavior. It is an attempt to show the four typical stages of team development as a group of people transition from being a collection of individuals to becoming a fully functioning team. Now, Bruce Tuckman observed that all teams pass through all of these four stages. Some pass through some of those stages quicker than others, but all teams pass through all of them. And therefore, it's helpful to know what those stages are and in particular to understand what's going on. Now, I guess at this point, we could just press pause. Alan, I could invite you to think about a particular team you've been on, maybe a staff team, maybe a workplace team, maybe a sports team. And just to kind of think, are those things, have those things been recognisable? And I've just enjoyed thinking about that, reflecting on staff teams, sports teams, either I've been a part of or I've watched. Yeah, just interesting to do that. But my principal aim is to encourage you to think about how you can use these insights, these observations, and this wisdom for the benefit of your church plant. You are unlikely to have a staff team yet, and therefore, I don't think I've got primarily your staff team, fledgling and embryonic as it is, in mind. I'm not really concerned about that. But before long, you are going to have multiple teams in your church for which you're responsible, whether that's the kids workers team, whether it's a leadership team, whether it's a delivery implementation team, doesn't matter. You are going to have multiple teams. And of course, many of you are at the stage where you're actually trying to build a launch team. You're trying to recruit a group of people. And the stuff here is going to have big implications for that. Now, I found this stuff really helpful just to interpret what has gone on at Bridge Church Peckham, as I've tried to think, where are we? What's going on? It's been really helpful. In chapter 45 of his book, Wisdom in Leadership, Craig Hamilton opts for the four Fs of team development. He has forming, fighting, figuring, and then flourishing. There you go. Those are the four Fs. Now, the truth is, it doesn't really matter what we call them. The key thing is to know these stages, to understand what is going on within them, and then, as leader, to provide the team with what they need from you in each stage in order to make progress. Because what you don't want is a team stuck in the kind of figuring, or even worse, the fighting scenario. Okay, so look, stage one. Actually, I'll tell you what, just give me I'll give you a brief overview of what's going on. Okay, so in the forming stage, you've got a group of people, a collection of individuals, and they form as they come together and they start their collective work. So there's a lot of looking around, trying to get to grips with one another, and so on and so forth. The fighting stage is what comes next, or storming. They interact, they rub up against each other. They work out what needs to be done, who's responsible for it, how we're going to relate to each other. And it's uncomfortable. And, you know, just people step on each other's toes. You know, people fall out. They're beginning to get to know each other. But that's the kind of the underperforming fighting stage. Figuring is that they come to the point where they work out who does what, how do we do it, how are we going to make it happen. There is sort of agreement on that. People get this buy-in and you begin to kind of, okay, right, yeah, we're going in the right direction. Then finally, as people grow in their expertise and their familiarity with what they're meant to be doing, they begin to focus on the goal and getting it done rather than spending all the time working out how we're meant to do it, and they actually get something done. But let's take each of those stages in turn with one or two observations as we work our way through it. Okay, in the forming stage, you've got a group of individuals. They've probably been recruited by you because you've cast vision. So you've got them on board. Now, the roles within that group are going to be assigned by someone who takes the lead, saying, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. Or they're kind of assumed and they grow and develop organically, sort of unofficially assigned as people take on responsibility. Depends what it is. Depends what kind of group it is as to how those roles are assumed. Unofficial rules or informal rules begin to get established at that point. People kind of settle on, okay, who's doing what? How do we work? What's expected? What's good work? What's bad work? How much effort are we putting in? What's an acceptable level of conflict, disagreement, and so on and so forth? Those kind of things are going on. Now, none of those rules, and sometimes some of the roles aren't actually stated, but they're predictable. People, you know, people don't struggle to know what's going on. The people who will struggle are the newcomers, the people who come in after a group has been formed, because for them, it's not obvious. But for everyone else, it is. They've kind of, it's been part of the formation stuff. It's the air that they breathe. But the newcomer is thinking, hang on a second, well, how does this function? Now, I guess if you wanted to caricature or summarize what's going on at this stage, the group is thinking to itself, who are we and what are we doing? Now, it is entirely possible they might be thinking, isn't this fun? I mean, it's the honeymoon. It's before anything of real substance has happened. It's the fun bit. But very quickly, they go from, is this fun, to, right, who are we? What are we doing? Okay. I'll come back to what's expected of us at this stage in due course. But it is worth you thinking, what does the team need from me as leader at that stage? I'll come back to that. But that's the key question to ask. Secondly, the sort of the fighting stage or storming. The honeymoon's over. You're back home. You're into the mundanity of ordinary life. The thrill of meeting your colleagues has begun to wear off. Your patience with some of them has begun to wear thin. Issues are now beginning to surface, and everyone is sufficiently comfortable with one another to begin to express their dissatisfaction. And so the team sometimes begins to lose motivation, loses enthusiasm. It can become disillusioned, jaded. They encounter problems, and those problems feel to be insurmountable. It might be that the team ethic or sort of the high standards begin to slip. You'll notice that issues go unresolved, problems just loiter. In reality, the wind is beginning to dissipate from people's sails. It may well be that team members are insufficiently clear on what's required of them. They perhaps begin to step over each other's boundaries and step into each other's perceived space. And look, all of that is normal. It's not just that they're figuring stuff out, it's that you're figuring stuff out as well. And so it's normal, but these things do need to be addressed. You can't let them go on without someone saying or doing something. And usually those things arise because inevitably there's a lack of clarity about who does what. There may be an awareness that the skills they have are not yet sufficient. It could be they've forgotten the vision and the excitement and the oomph that drove them in the first place has gone. Now, that is normal. It's typical. And the temptation is to try to deal with that with reprimand and rebuke. But actually what people need is a reminder of what's going on. You've got to remind people what they're doing, who's doing it, why you're doing it, how you're doing it, and so on. So what the team needs from you at that moment is real clarity. You've got to see people, you've got to be the person who is able to look and say, this is not working and this is why, or even, this isn't working, why do you think it's not working? You've got to call people out if they're dropping the ball and they're not doing what they should be doing. It could well be that at this stage you need to provide training for people because you realize actually there's a skills deficiency here. We need to help people out. We need to develop people. I think we need particularly, I think, to have and generate. You've got to be the guy who's unfazed by it, who says, guys, seriously, there's nothing to worry about here. It is normal. This is what is to be anticipated. But to provide also lots of encouragement, I think the team will look to you to be the steady hand. In one sense, you've got to keep reminding of the vision. Why are we doing what we're doing? This is what got people on board in the first place. And the truth is, if a team comes out of this, it emerges stronger for the experience. But if you kind of stand back, adopt a hands-off scenario and don't really get involved, I think what you're going to get is this stage is going to be prolonged And some people will just pull out and just say, no, 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 I'm not up for this. Again, if you wanted to caricature what the team is thinking about at this stage, I think they're probably thinking, what are we doing wrong? Or why isn't this working? Or they might just be thinking, this isn't working. And again, you've got to ask yourself at this stage, what does the team need from you? Thirdly, figuring. If you can get them through stage two, and it's a shorter period rather than a longer period because you've been hands-on and interventionist, I think what you're able to do is produce a team that is focused and active, and actually will begin to make progress. And so what you'll get is individual members who understand what their role is, they'll settle into it, they'll develop some expertise, they'll begin to own and understand their responsibilities. Different personalities within the group will begin to gel with one another, because then they, okay, he's like that, but that's okay. I've got to grips with her and how to handle her. We've learned how to communicate. We've had some patchy periods, but we've come through that. The team begins to get into a groove where it's not just a collection of individuals, but it is becoming more than the sum of its parts as people interact together. And that kind of natural interaction and trust with each other grows, because you've given it time and people have done what they said they've done. And so there's that reinforcement of what's going on. Now, what's brilliant about this is that people will begin to be able to achieve more and move faster than any stage before. There's a real sense of, whoa, this actually, we're getting some stuff done. Change will come. They'll be comfortable with that. Unexpected circumstances and situations will arise, but they'll deal with that with less disruption because they're a more cohesive team than they've been. And actually, individuals will start to think outside of their own roles and start to take pleasure in what the team is accomplishing and how the team is functioning. And so a big thing will be, actually, this is great. I love being part of this team. I can contribute. My contribution is valuable. But look at what we're doing. And so they'll take joy and delight in what the team is achieving far more than their own individual performance. And so, again, if you wanted to caricature what's going on, I think the team at this stage is thinking, do you know what? I think we're beginning to get the hang of this. And that is a precious moment in church planting. When it comes, there's a kind of, do you know what? I think this is working. I think we're doing all right. It's just, you've got to get through the storming stage to get there. Again, the key thing, what do you think your team most needs from you at this stage? That's the key question. I'll come back to that. Fourthly and finally, flourishing or performing. At this point, the team, it is firing on all cylinders. It is a smoothly oiled, well-tuned machine. People have caught the vision. They own the vision. They know their contribution. They understand their place and their role within the team, and they're totally up for it, and they commit to it. High trust, good communication, all of those things. They're fine at identifying problems. They don't feel the need to call each other out on it. They don't blame others. And when someone drops the ball, that's okay, but people don't take it personally. And so actually what you'll get here is more is achieved with less effort, because all that kind of all the friction stuff that has been preventing the machine, the team, from being effective has gone. Confidence is high. People are loving it. Motivation, enthusiasm, you're not struggling with those kinds of things. People love being part of this team, and they want to be not only a part of this team doing this thing, but they actually want to do it with this group of people. Okay, so those are the four stages. All teams go through all of them. Some go through some quicker than others. You've got to navigate your team through them. Now, in terms of what's going on at each stage, in the forming stage, what the team needs most from you is the ability to recruit people, and you'll do that by casting vision. Then you need to provide clarity in terms of what are we doing and why are we doing it, but also clarity, especially in terms of roles and that kind of purpose. So insofar as you can provide clarity about this is what I need you to do, this is your contribution, that is brilliant. Of course, some things you won't be able to just yet, but you've got a group of people together. They're the right guys on the bus. We're going to get this thing done. Okay, how are we going to get it done? I'm not sure yet, but this is what we're going to do. Okay, stage two is the kind of the fighting, storming stage. I think what you've got to do is observe. You've just got to be all over stuff in terms of looking at stuff, asking yourself, what's going on here? Why is it going on? Who's doing what? How are they doing it? So lots and lots of observation and analysis, because at that point you want to be able to say, you need to be able to explain why the team's not functioning. Where is it falling down? And at that point, you need to be willing to intervene and perhaps especially have some uncomfortable or difficult conversations. Now, the more you can encourage people, so the more I think people are willing to then hear, you drop the ball. But I think you're terrific. You're the right woman for the job. We need you. But what we need from you is you must do this. So I think the key is this stage. And if we're not the kind of people who are comfortable with uncomfortable conversations, if we're the kind of people who prefer to put our head in the sand and hope that things, you know, get better just by default, we are going to prolong stage two and stop our teams from functioning. But I think what we can't be is the critiquer who just goes, you've got that wrong. You're rubbish at that. The way you speak to people is hopeless. You've got to give people, you know, in one sense, it's the team equivalent of justification by faith. Guys, I love you. I'm not going to throw you off the team. But we're not great at this. And you want them to be able to say, to so feel valued that they're able to say, not only am I not very good at this, I'm not very good at this either or this. And actually, I'm much worse than you think. So in other words, you want to lead in such a way that actually it's okay for people to say, I'm not performing well. I need help on this. And potentially to transition into another role, but particularly an opportunity for you to say, well, look, let's think about this knowledge deficit or this skills deficit or whatever. Okay. Thirdly, in the figuring stage where they're beginning to get the hang of this, I think you want lots of observation, lots of encouragement to keep going and just remind them to look at what they're accomplishing. It's going to be a bumpy road, but you want to be able to say, guys, look, I've watched what you're doing. Pay attention. Look, that is working. It's brilliant. And then finally, in the flourishing, just get out of the way. You've got to be hands off at that stage because they are performing, they're flying, but you just need to keep the occasional eye over what's going on so that nothing takes you by surprise. Let me conclude and then we can go to coffee. I think there's a real danger of thinking that we've done our job by collecting a group of individuals together and calling them a team. In other words, you are the leadership team. Job done. Cha-ching. Shared responsibility. Right. Plain sailing now until we grow to 150 or whatever. Not a chance. We have not done our job. We've only just started our job if we've managed to recruit some people onto the bus. I think what we need to do is understand what's going on at each stage. We need to decide what stage our team is at. And we've got to give ourselves to learn what our teams need from us at the stage that they're at. I also think there's real value in us communicating to our teams, guys, this is what to expect. You know, we are not going to be a 9 out of 10 team to begin with. The truth is we'll become a -2 out of 10 team before we ever begin to figure it out. That's okay. It's normal. We'll deal with it. But I think we need to help our teams anticipate and interpret what's going on so that they're comfortable with it. There you go. I'm sure there are lots more resources in the Harvard Business Review or online. Look them up. But four stages of team development. Collect them together, goes pear-shaped, gets better as people figure it out, and then they fly. There you go. Let me pray. Father, please help us to be great team leaders for the sake of the team and in particular for the sake of the goals that we're aiming at. Father, help us to be those that understand what's going on and can provide our teams with what they need from us in order to do what they have to do. Help us to be great team leaders, caring for them as team members. And we pray, Father, for our churches, perhaps especially in the light of us being and feeling so resource light, help us to be more than the sum of our parts, because the work we're committed to is so valuable and we long for the gospel to flourish. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.